Blog Talk Radio.
K-Classic.
They told you that you couldn't do it cause you're washed up. Ain't like them bad girls said you should get your sauce up. But I got this plan and you might not understand. I'ma go hard as I can and I'm gonna be the boss of it. Just watch me do this, put no limits, only swag on it. Walk right up to the front where I belong and brag on it. Go to the top, I'ma give it all I got. Might take a lot, but we ain't gonna ever stop. I still believe I'm something special, can't take that from me. So you can say what you want, I go harder, stronger, be who I'm supposed to be.
Johnson, and we are back again for Focus Factor, where we motivate a movement and empower you to soar. I am your host, Stacey Johnson, and I am the CEO of Women of Vision Global Network, coming to you live with another hot topic on today. I have a special guest, Tiffany Hunter. She is the CEO of the X God Made Next. Tiffany, are you there? Let's see if I click
her real
quick. Hey, how are you? God bless you.
I am good. Yes.
Good. We had some exciting conversation on last Saturday, and our topic, it was concerning developing a roadmap to your purpose. So this is part two of that topic. And before we get started, want to go over a few house rules. And that is, this is an open floor. So those that call in, we want to respect everybody's opinion. This is a safe place for us to communicate and empower one another as individuals. We don't get political, so that's a no-no. I just don't want to get caught up in what's going on out in the world today politically. There's enough people doing that. So we want to stay motivated. We want to build. We want to empower And we just come to encourage and continue building even in this process of this downtime. If you want to call in and participate in this discussion, the call-in number is 516-595-8287. Again, that call-in number is 516-595-8287. So let's dig right into it, because I think last time the conversation was so good that we ran out of time. We really got into it, and I don't think we even made it past the first point in discussing developing a roadmap to your purpose. We didn't make it past who we are and or finding yourself, because I think that is so key today. And I had so much positive feedback after the program that before people can really get into their purpose, they have to find themselves first. So, and let's talk about that a little bit. And so we talked about the week before that, we had talked about, you know, strategy and what and how do you have a strategy to stay motivated when things seem stagnant in your life. And we talked about the definition of that strategy. And a strategy is just a plan of action designed to achieve a major goal. We understood that. So it's a careful method that you design to achieve this major goal. And some of the keys in that strategy on the last couple weeks was one was to keep focused, and another one was to stay on track and to keep motivated and build momentum. And we talked about how you can do that. But last week, when we talked about developing a roadmap to your purpose, it was so many empowerment nuggets. And that's what we call them, our empowerment nuggets that were thrown out there. I just want to just to do a recap on those. And one thing I loved how Tiffany put it, she talked about, and if I can remember, she talked about hair and how she was wearing her hair a certain way, and because she thought that's what, you know, people would like, or she wanted to be accepted around people, but she always wanted to cut her hair. But, you know, the fear of what people would think, and I you know, and she can explain it better than me, just, you know, all of a sudden, you know, she came to herself and chopped off her hair and was liberated at that point. And the nugget that I wrote down that she said was, be bold and walk it out. Find yourself. Step outside of the character that everybody puts on you. And I thought that was so key, because if you don't know who you are, then the society or the world doesn't have a problem identifying you as something. They will put something on you if you don't know who and whose you are. They don't have a problem telling you who you are, or they will create something for you. Another one of the nuggets were people fear what others will think of them. So we're worried about what people think of us. So when we get up in the morning, we don't look in the mirror to satisfy ourselves. Some people look in the mirror trying to satisfy what people will think of them at the office, or when some people go to church, and they're not worried about, you know, what they're going to put on to make them feel better. When I walk in the room, you know, all eyes are going to be on me. So I got to look a certain way. I have to present myself a certain way. So the fear of what others will think of them and not really tapping into who they really are, their true self. Another point was, people don't want to put the work in. People want the success. People want the anointing. People want, it's like they want to graduate from school, but they don't want to do the work. They want to be successful, but they don't want to do what it takes to be successful. And another one was, changing your mindset is a learned behavior. I think that came from one of our callers that in order to change your mindset about how you see yourself, it's a learned behavior. It's a process. It's taking your time and really, really, I want to say, stripping yourself of the preconceived notions of what people have told you over the years. For me, I had to, like in the book I wrote, An Unveiled Heart, I had to unveil some things about myself to really find who I was in this day and age. I really had to do it, an unveiling of my heart, and take a step back and look and see where all that stuff came from, those ideas about myself. So let's get into it today, and let's talk about the roadmap to purpose. So purpose is the reason for which anything is done, created, or exists, a fixed design, outcome, or idea that is an object of an action or another. Why is knowing your purpose important? Finding your purpose creates a sense of meaning in your life. You know what you love to do, you are good at it, and how you contribute to the world. Finding a sense of finding a sense of meaning to life gives you a sense of place. And I don't think that a lot of people know the place that they're supposed to be in life because they don't have that sense of meaning yet. When you find your purpose, it's easier to know where you belong and what you're supposed to be doing. And I think knowing your purpose, that's a motivator. And when you don't know your purpose, then some people are just not motivated. So I'm gonna ask, you know, Tiffany to come on, and she's already there. And if she wants to do a recap of what we talked about last week, or if anything happened this week, because I know we had a lot of calls and a lot of people were texting, and we had a lot of good feedback on last week. So Tiffany, did you run into any questions or anything?
I did not. I did get a lot of good feedback from a lot of the people that are invited to listen in to the show. And they said it was very good and informative information for them as well. And it actually helped help them strategize and outline some of their some of the problems that they had and was facing, waiting, you know, and the answers that they were looking for with some of their own problems. A lot of it was stagnation. A lot of it was not feeling like they couldn't do it or was not able to do it due to certain, like, circumstances. So I just got a lot of great feedback.
Okay, good, good. So when I was looking over some things today, and I was really trying to dig into the roadmap to purpose, because people want to jump into purpose, but there has to be a roadmap that leads you to your purpose and what that looks like. So your purpose is the reason why we do what we do. It's why we are created. And I was thinking, like, wow, you know, there's so many changes that are going on in the world today, and not even today, because change is something that's going to happen. And I was telling somebody, you know, it's hard for people to shift and do something different when they like routine. I'm a person that I love routine, because, you know, routine gets me in a certain flow, and when I'm flowing, it's good. But when change happens, it shifts the way things flow, and it'll kind of knock you if you're not mature at it. And it takes learn behavior to learn how to shift when things shift. But when things shift, I was thinking about things shifting, and I was thinking about purpose. Does your purpose change when things shift? That's good right there. And I kind of thought about that. Your situations may change, but not necessarily your purpose.
Wow.
Your perspective can shift, but not necessarily your purpose. So looking at, you know, going back and looking at my life where I started, I know that my purpose is to add value to people. My purpose is to pour into others. My purpose is to help people reach their destination. So I have outside of that purpose, I have a natural and a godly gift in seeing what's in people and pulling that out of them. So looking back, when I started as a hairdresser. I was a cosmetologist. I'm not a cosmetologist today because things shifted, but I look back then, I was still encouraging people. I was still empowering people. I was still pouring into people. So even though my profession changed, my purpose was still there. I didn't realize at the time that's what it was. So you got a lot of people today with the big shift that is happening in today that had a vision, had a purpose, and now it's changed. It doesn't mean that the purpose is going to change. It just means now we have to shift how we did things. We have to change our perspective on how we do things. But let's talk a little bit about let's get back into knowing who we are. And I wrote a few things down as I was thinking about this. And I wrote down certain things have to be developed before you can walk in, you know, your true purpose. And one is knowing yourself, you know, being okay with the skin that you're in. And for those that didn't listen to the call last week, Tiffany, can you kind of explain how you got comfortable with the skin that you're in? Because not even for grown-ups, but even I work with children, and most of the children that I work with are not comfortable in the skin that they're in because of what society tells them that they should be. I don't know, Tiffany, did I lose you? I may have. I'm not sure. But I may have. Let me, I think the call dropped, and my apologies. Also, we're having a little technical difficulties today, so please bear with us today. It's a lot of people on the internet and things, so things are moving kind of slow. I think even our chat is down. I don't even see our chat up, so we apologize for the things that are going on, the little difficulties, but we are working to try to get that fixed on today. So I think Tiffany called back in. It's a lot of static feedback on her mic here. Tiffany, can you hear me?
I am. Yes, okay. I am in. Sorry about that. Lost connection.
Okay. Good. Did you hear the question?
I did not, no.
I was talking about certain things that have to be developed before you can walk in your true purpose, and one of them we talked about was knowing yourself and being okay with the skin that you're in. And and there are no perfect people, and I was talking about the children that they're not okay with who they are, even as babies. I'm talking about the 6, the 7, the 10, the 12, the 13-year-olds, and it starts as a child. And I wanted you to talk about how you became okay with who you are so you could, you know, walk towards your purpose and find your purpose and walk into your destiny and what that looked like.
Absolutely, absolutely. So for me, and I would say it's not easy when you come from a place of low self-esteem and not having confidence, even coming from a place where you're always, you know, sometimes there's stereotypes in the world and categorizations that you get put in. It's hard when you try to really find yourself in those places. So for me, what I did was I had to learn to love everything about myself and everything that people disliked about me. And we're not going to always have, you know, the perfect, I'll just put it as physical being, the perfect hair, the perfect eyes, the perfect shape, you know, any of that. But we have to really learn to love who we are and what we have. And that's what I had to learn how to do. And I think also the people that we put ourselves around could be a big help to that. Not that you look for people to validate you, but I think it's okay for people to recognize different attributes about yourself that you kind of lacked having on your own. Just to, I guess what I would call it self-confidence building, and just having someone, people that really know you is what I'm talking about. People that really know you, not someone you just met and you just really don't know their motives or anything like that, but people that really know you sometimes could be, can have a positive reflection in your life and can really help you with loving those things that you truly hate about yourself. And that helped, that helped for me. You know, I had have a friend that, you know, always find a positive in everything and everybody. And you start learning how to just, through that, I started learning how to love everything about myself. And I guess we would call it words of affirmations that we use until we really start believing it for ourselves.
That's good.
And that's really what, that's what it was for me.
That's good. That's good. And that was one of the key points that I wrote down. Was the first one was confidence. You have to be confident in, I love how you put it, who you are and what you got. You know, we have so many people. I don't scroll through Facebook a lot, but when I do, you know, you run across some crazy stuff, and that's why I don't like to do it. But sometimes you run across these ads where they have all these crazy body shapers that can make you just look like a cartoon character and all of these things. And I'm not knocking what anybody does. But before, you know, and before you go and enhancing things, you have to love what you're trying to enhance and not change it. I'm a firm believer in that.
Absolutely.
Love what you have. And what you got, you know, it's okay, you know, to put the hair on and put the makeup on and do all of those things. But, you know, when you look really down in the reason why you're doing it, are you doing it because, you know, you like who you are, or are you doing it because of other people or an image or whatever, you know? So I think that's an inner question, you know, love who you are and what you got. You know, what do you have? You know, what do you have to work with that you can love? And then the other one that you said that was so good is you have to have the right people around you. You know, you have to have the right people to pour into you, to encourage you. What did you call it? Words of affirmation are really key. Speaking those things over yourself that are positive. You know, I have positive affirmations that I do in the morning with my devotional, you know, that I speak to myself and about my family and about my house, because it's needed, especially sometimes in a world that can be so negative, you know, or in business that can be so negative, so many negative things, that you have to have the positive affirmations about yourself, or you'll just believe, you know, what the world tells you about yourself. Another one I thought that was good that I wrote down was on your road to your purpose, not just confidence, but commitment. Commitment is key, because we can be committed to other people, but we can't be committed to our own stuff. I ran into a few people, and one of the things that they were struggling with were they can put time into everybody else, but have problems giving time to their self. So they can work somebody else's vision, but couldn't commit to their own vision. Any thoughts on that?
I think that was absolutely great what you said. We find ourselves, like you said, being committed to so many other people and so many other things, so many other tasks, that that belong to others, but forget to take care of ourselves. So I think that it's really that was really good what you said about learning how to be committed, learning how to be dedicated and reliable in our own purpose and in our own things that we want to accomplish and what we want to do. So that was great.
We have a caller on the line, and like I said, those that want to call in and participate in this conversation, the call-in number is area code 516-595-8287, and we're going to go ahead before we continue. We have a caller. Caller 270, your mic is open. Did you have a question, or did you want to make a comment?
Yes, I do have a question. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderful.
Good.
I am. I know she
good.
Is.
Good. So with me, I've never knew my purpose or what I was supposed to be doing in life, especially coming straight out of college. I found a major interesting to take for college, but right before graduation, I found that I was called to another field. And it wasn't until someone else recognized that I had a gift, and I realized I had a passion for that gift. Now, here I am, graduated from college, and I'm having second thoughts because I've come this far. So do I continue with the original major, or do I switch the major that I have a passion for now? I feel like I would be wasting more college tuition if I, you know, change the major. So what would be your thoughts and opinion on that?
My thoughts on that is, first, look at the major that you have now and look at where you're trying to go. Is it possible that the two can fuse together? Is it possible that, because I don't believe that you had this passion and then all of a sudden now, you know, it switches, or you went all the way through school, you graduated, and now things are shifting and now you're not going to do anything with it. Look at where you've been, what you've done, and what you have accomplished. And now look at the desire to do something else. Is it possible that they can work side by side? Is it an addition to what you're doing? It might be a broader picture than what you see. It's not just, oh, I'm doing this, now I'm doing this. For instance, me being a cosmetologist or ex-cosmetologist doesn't mean that I'm not in a salon, but I still every now and then touch a head or two. So I didn't totally leave it, and it's still allowing me to connect with people and pour into people. But it's a part of the bigger picture of where God is has makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
So I would go back and I would look at the degree that I have now, plus what I want to do, and the broader scope. Can two be fused together instead of just dropping everything and moving on to something else? You know, all things work together for the good. So look and see how the two blend together. Is it in helping people? Is it services, human services? Is it management? Is it human services management? But look and see how the two blend together, and I would take it from that standpoint and pray about it. Tiffany, did you want to interject on that one?
That's good, and I think it's and I was going to say, too, like a lot of people sometimes will find use in what they actually had done, even if that's not the career that they chose to.
We are having a lot of technical difficulties today, and I apologize, her call dropped. We have another caller, and we're going to wait for her to come back in. Area code 706, Your mic is open. Did you have a question?
I do, and I just wanted to.
513.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, great. I do have something that I'd like to add and a question at the end. So you were talking about, purpose and passion, and it's always been my belief that, you know, passion is something that we are actually born with. But there's a different point, different time, different stage in life in which that passion is tapped into. So I don't believe, I guess part of my question is, can you fully walk in your purpose if you cannot or you don't learn how to tap into that passion? Because I believe that passion is what really, you know, fuels us in our purpose, you know, as that pertains. Yes, ma'am.
And you, so you said you can't really tap into your purpose until you have the passion for your purpose, right?
No,
my
question is, are you able to fully tap into your purpose if you don't have the passion? Because I believe that passion helps to bring the fuel to getting you into that purpose and bringing that purpose to fruition. Because you get tired otherwise, you know, if you're just doing something, going through the motions, because you believe it's your purpose.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and this is my belief. I don't believe you can have purpose without passion. I believe, like you said, it's your purpose that drives the passion. So I don't think you can move towards something, and this is just me, I could be wrong, I don't think you can move towards something that is in your purpose and you don't have the drive to do it. So then you would have to ask yourself some serious questions. Is this what I'm really supposed to be doing? Because your purpose, to me, drives, your passion drives you to your purpose. Your passion is connected to your purpose. And I'm going to use myself for an example. When I was going into the penitentiaries and connecting the families and ministering to the men, I knew that was part of my purpose, but I had a passion that drove it. And because of that passion, there was an anointing attached to that because I had the heart to do it. And a lot of times we can't do things because we think it's our purpose and our heart is not attached to it. Because if your heart is not in it, it's not going to last. You're just, like you said, just kind of going through the motions. And I believe at this stage in life, we got to be more than just going through the motions. We have to be passionate about what we're doing so we can move into our purpose. So, yes, ma'am, I think you have to, I don't think you can tap into a passion because that's something that has to be already there. It's not like, oh, I'm doing this and then I get a passion for it. So now I'm passionate about it. Now my heart aches for it. Now it's in it. Usually what bothers you the most or the thing that troubles you the most ends up being that thing, that your calling, your destiny, your purpose, that thing that's driving you. So when you're just like, oh, ho-hum, yeah, yada, 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 I'm not doing that, but yeah, I'm on my way to my purpose, that's when you become stagnated. That's when you get derailed. You're really unsure about things. So you have to have a passion that's connected with your purpose. I've always had a passion for people. Even though I did many things, I've always had a passion to add value to people. It was always there. Are you hearing? It was always there. So I don't think you can have one without the other. I don't think you can move towards your purpose and not be passionate about it. Just something to do then. It's not anointed then.
And then I have another. It does. And then I've got another. I guess it's a statement question. So when it comes to us being, you know, confident, it sounds real easy that we decide to, you know, do something. But what I know about people in general is when it comes to confidence, especially self-confidence, if we don't get the approval of someone or something else, then it doesn't fulfill within us what we are, you know, after. Even if we change a hairstyle or we change the way we do things in life, if we don't get approval, then most times we don't keep going down that path. If we change something about us and people don't accept us, then we typically don't keep going down that path, because not everybody has a boldness and the courage to be able to,
right,
you know, step out. So to me, in my life, you know, confidence and, you know, self-confidence, basically confidence by a definition is to, you know, trust in yourself and trust in your abilities and to trust in your, you know, judgment. That doesn't always happen simply because I changed something and I feel good about it. It takes a little more than that. And what has helped me in life is, you know, mentors. I don't think the world fully understands the weight that a mentor can bring to a life and to cause it to shift in order to, you know, build up someone else. Because whether we want to admit it or not, we do desire the approval of others, some a lot more than others. Some, I don't need it as much, but some people really have to have that in order to keep going. That's a motivator for them. So when you have a mentor who has convinced you that you can do, you hear people tell their testimonies all the time about a teacher they had who spoke into their life and believed in them and pushed them. If that teacher wasn't there, their life would not have turned out the same way. That's why it's important for us. And all of my mentors in life always tell me, make sure I build others up. It's important to build others up, because you can be the one that God is using as a catalyst to push them into the place where they're to go when they were so afraid to do it before. Just want to say this, and then I'm going to, you know, get off the line. I remember, as long as I've had teeth, my teeth have always been, you know, crooked. And for the longest, I did not smile. People thought I was very angry as a child and just, you know, mad at the world and things like that. Well, I grew up in a single-parent household and raised by my dad, because my mom passed away when I was young. And I remember when I had a mentor at a young age who told me I had a beautiful smile. And I would always smile for her because she expected that, and it seemed to, you know, give her joy. So then I eventually got to the point where I was smiling all the time. Now, not everybody thought my smile was as beautiful as she did, but there was something that she ignited in me that caused me to smile. To this day, my teeth are still crooked. I'm not willing to spend the money to get them straightened out. People tell me I have a beautiful smile, but it was my mentor that told me, you smile and you look like your mother. That sealed the deal. I kept smiling. So there is something in us that can be awakened by a mentor, a kind word. And your mentors don't always have to be older. They can be younger. There are some young people who are very wise. A mentor is a trusted advisor.
I like that. That's good. Are you still there, caller?
I didn't want to hog up all the time.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. You said a mentor is a trusted advisor and a kind word. And the same way that we people can build, we know a lot of people can be torn down by words. And like you said, I like what you said about confidence. Just because you change something about yourself doesn't necessarily mean that you have gained the confidence. So mentors is another thing, you know, like I think Tiffany said, you have to have people in your life that will speak positive things that will encourage you, because we do look for that affirmation from different individuals. And I think Tiffany came back on the line. She's having some technical difficulties. I'm going to open up her mic. Tiffany, are you there?
I am here, yes. Yes, I am here.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Glad to have you back. Did you want to interject on anything that the caller said?
Yes. Yes, a few things, actually, I wanted to go back to. So with what the caller was saying about, and you reiterated, that definitely went back to what I was saying about having the people we around and having someone there that can speak a word into, then that's what it is, really speaking life into us, speaking something positive into us that we can hold on to. And I love what you said, that you with the smile, you always made it a point to make sure that every time you saw, you know, that person that's spoken to you, that you smiled for them. And that's actually us exercising what we had felt less confident in. So you actually was exercising, you know, what someone had told you about yourself, and then you gained enough confidence in it even for yourself to know that, hey, you know, no, I'm not going out and spending, you know, this amount of dollars to go change something about myself or do it. And I think that's where we start learning to really love ourselves. So I loved how you exercised what was spoken into you and then, you know, have found, you know, enjoyment in doing it. And I can speak that for myself as well, and having been told, you know, I had a beautiful smile and not really feeling like, you know, because my teeth was a little bit bigger or anything like that, that no, my smile could not be, you know, as perfect as people are saying it is, because for, you know, for whatever reason in society, we associate our smile with having the most beautifulest or whitest teeth. So, you know, I can attest to that. But I'm like you, you know, I smile all the time still, and it's just one of my greatest, you know, attributes and traits about myself that I love. And then I did want to go back to the young lady that was talking about the purpose and, you know, having having had gone down one path and then finding something else that she found about herself. Sometimes, and we learned this, and I think we spoke this on the first call, that sometimes we find that when we walk into one door, other doors begin to open. We find out more about ourselves and the things that we are really good at. And I think that what you said about finding how the two can actually work together with each other was really good. You know, one of the stories that I heard that I like with a friend that I grew up with is, you know, she went to school for psychology. She went to school for, you know, everything in the health field, and then turns out in not doing any of that, but she's into cosmetology now. But she's just became more interested in learning more about skin conditions as it concerns the hair, alopecia, and, you know, cancer patients and different things like that. And, you know, now she's getting into microscopic work to where she's actually able to look, you know, at the scalp closer and can see, you know, where the hair loss is coming from. And just learning all of these things about hair. And it's like some of what you learned through psychology and some of what she learned in the healthcare administration or, you know, in healthcare helps. You know, with the way that she associate with her clients and the trust that they're able to have in her as coming to her as a psychologist, because we know that when we go to the salon sometimes, that's our place where we can have our girl talk. That's our time to vent sometimes, and that's our time where the stylist, we use for the stylist to, you know, puff us up and make us beautiful and feel good in every way. So it's not that, you know, she lost anything in what she had taken before and not putting use to it, but she actually, I would say, you know, gained more out of what she's done before and using it in that career. So, like you said, just finding ways of how, you know, the path that you had taken, you know, would still work with whatever other door was open for you or whatever other giftings you found in yourself and using them together. So I wanted to touch base back on that.
That's good, because, you know, even being a hairstylist or a barber is not a light matter. I was in the industry for over 15 years, and you are actually a transformation specialist or a deeper form of change agents, because you have people used to come in looking one way, and then it's your job to transform them and send them out totally different. So I remember a lot of times, most of the times, I would have women and men coming in beaten, abused, low self-esteem, didn't really understand their look, were not comfortable in the skin that they were in, but me being that transformation specialist or that change agent was able, through their hair or through their makeup, was able to transform that individual, which gave them a different perspective about how they seen themselves, or how, like you said, about her teeth or your teeth, how other people seen them. They changed the perspective of how they seen themselves, and then they walk differently. They, you know, they talk differently. Their you know, when they put on their clothes, it was different. So I think that is so key. What about and I want to go back to the caller, area code 270, because your mic is still open. What about, you know, what we said about seeing? She said one door opens or one door closes, another door opens, and see how they connect together. Caller, are you still on the line? 270.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. I liked it. Everything all three of you said. It took me back to, it kind of opened up my eyes. It took me back to college when I had an advisor, and she had went to school for psychology. But then she had a degree for nursing, and I could never understand, like, why would she do that, you know? But now it's making sense, because as Tiffany said, that opened up a door for her. So even though she went to school for psychology and then changed to nursing, she went to school for psychology to study the mind and the brain and everything. But then when she went to nursing, she actually started doing the field of doing the study of the brain, which is neuroscience. So that opened up a door for that. So that's what, you know, I got from that. So that really helped a lot, because that just took me back to there. So I'm thinking about kind of, you know, intertwining the two, not like pushing the other one to the side, but actually gaining from that, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yes, yes. And caller 706, did you have any comments about what was said?
I think that for me personally in life, there comes a time and a point when you ask God, you know, why am I here? You know, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? Especially if you don't feel like you're actually doing what it was you were created to do. And he always gives you some insight, because he doesn't want you out in the wilderness, you know, wandering around aimlessly, because you know you can be, you know, persuaded to go the wrong way. So everything should start with prayer. That's just me. I am a spiritual person, and I seek the Lord's advice. And then also I have mentors, you know, those that I trust with my life, because I trust their advice, and I trust the guidance that they give me. And when they, you know, tell me something, I know they have my best interest at heart. So as you seek out a mentor, make certain it's someone that has your best interest at heart, because then they're going to not just, you know, give you advice, but they're going to be there as you go through this process. As there is a change, they're going to be there to, you know, walk you through the change, to be certain that you are doing it as you should be doing it. Because sometimes we do our own self-studies. I thank God for the World Wide Web, but the World Wide Web is just that. It's as wide as the world and can take you in a place that you weren't supposed to go. Just because you find something on the internet doesn't mean that it's for you. Just because you find someone else's testimony doesn't mean that it's supposed to be your testimony. So that's why you have to have trusted advisors that you speak to that can tell you according to what, you know, God is saying about you and your life, because they're going to be prayerful too, to make certain that everybody is in agreement. You can't be in agreement with something on the internet because you don't know who wrote it.
That's good. Another point we had talked about was commitment. A lot of people don't want to be committed to the process of knowing themselves or pouring into themselves when it comes to change, or they don't want to be committed to the process of seeking their purpose or moving towards their purpose. Because when you move towards your purpose, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be I don't want to call them stumbling blocks, but there will be stepping stones that you have to step over. There are going to be, you know, sometimes some dark places. There are going to be some highs and some lows. Even when it comes to spiritual growth and or natural abilities or tapping into your giftings or your ministry or your calling, there's a level of commitment that you have to have in order to get to the next level. And some people are not really willing to have that level of commitment. And we talked about earlier that it's easier to be committed for somebody else's stuff than to be committed in your own vision. It's easy to go into church and get in, like you said, what they say, get in where you fit in. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to join this, or I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to help out the praise team, or I'm going to do this. And you know there's a burning in you. You should be doing something else. But that drive, that commitment to do it, I think for the most part that there's a fear there that stagnates their commitment. We have another caller on the line. We want to go ahead and call her. Your mic is open. 238. Do you have a question? Comment?
It's not really a question. It's more of a comment. It's like I listened to you all talk about how one career can lead into another. And the one thing that I discovered in listening is that I've done several things over my life. I'm a semen finisher. I went to school for different medical fields, like an MA, a laboratory technician. I've done it all. But the one thing that they all had in common was that I worked with people. And I was always there to be able to speak into somebody else's life or to give advice where needed, you know, with the wisdom that I have been granted from God. So one of the things that I discovered is that sometimes you may not be doing what you think you should do, but you're doing what God has you to do. And you're in the place that he placed you. Like now, the job that I'm in, it's centered around children, but it's still got parents. And these parents mm-hmm. are going through some things because their kids are not always the healthiest. So mm-hmm. they're going through some things, and I watch how they have to deal with these children, you know, and they need somebody to just tell them, you know, you can do this. It's going to be all right, you know, to even still be there to encourage them or to even say, you know, I know sometimes you feel like you want to just knock down a wall, but it's so easy to talk to God, and he will give you the answer you need in order to do what you have to do to continue to be the parent you're supposed to be, to continue to go through the things that you have to go through. So sometimes your career may not look like what you think, mm-hmm. but it's exactly what God has called you to.
That's good. That's good. So so I think I hear you saying you may be in a place that it may not look like that's where you're supposed to be, but you know definitely that's where God called you to be, because the determining factor or the connecting factor is that you're still dealing with people. You have always dealt with people
in one way or another.
That's good. That's good. That's good. So I'm going to open Tiffany's mic because she had a lot of feedback. Did you want to interject on that, Tiffany, what she said?
I think that's really good. And that's actually getting ready to bring me to I wanted to say something, and you can comment from it, because, and I think it kind of lines up with passion and purpose as well as also what the caller was saying too, all of it, because there are people that actually deal with these real life scenarios. So for me, because I know how to do hair, a lot of people would see me and they would say, that's what you should be doing. You should be doing hair. That's what you were supposed to be doing. And I liked doing hair, but I didn't find myself really having a passion for hair. I could have stuck it out and did it and maybe built the love towards it, but it's not something that I was really passionate about. So there are people that actually will find themselves falling into something because other people told them what they were so great at or what they should
be doing. So, you know, how would you separate? Well, you know, it's like the caller said, you know, you still found a means out of what you was doing, even though you didn't see, you know, think that you were supposed to be doing it. And then, you know, we talked about being passionate about something and finding purpose in it and everything. But, you know, what would you say with someone that you know, finds themselves in a situation of, well, I've been told this all my life that this is what I should be doing because I'm so good at it. Yeah, I like doing it, but, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe there was something else, like, you know, because that's often a lot of times with people that I've ran into that have that, you know, scenario.
Thank you. So I just wanted to say concerning that, when it comes to life, our lives have seasons. So there's a season for things. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to be doing it always. I am at a company. I've been here 22 years, started at the company, and about 5 years in, I started telling everybody, this is not where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I am not going to retire from this company. And then just last year, I got a prophetic word from God telling me that there's a career change on the horizon for me. So that tells me, as I was just saying, there are seasons in which we do things. That's how we can do something, and it brings us satisfaction for a time. And then we're no longer satisfied the way we once were. Then we try to get that old satisfaction back so we can keep doing what we've been doing. But God said that season is over and it's changed. I got something else for you to do now.
Okay, that's good. And let's look at it from the flip side of that as well. We have to be able to define the difference between gifts, talents, and call, because everybody wants to blend it all together. Just because I'm gifted or talented in something, that doesn't mean it's my purpose. It could be the means, but not necessarily the end to get me there. So this may be the talent or the gift that God is using to start me out or to help me in this area, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's my purpose. That might just mean where I'm starting out at. So that's good. So, you know, I think that this topic is really broad, and we're going to continue to chew on this topic because, like you said, there are so many people that are gifted and talented. And another thing is that's why people need mentors to help them iron out the ideas, because sometimes you need somebody with a broader perspective that can see past what you're looking at to help you change your view of your realm or your circle or what you have, to help you chew on the ideas and help you, you know, put things in categories where they belong and get you to focus and get you to plan and a vision board, and all of those things are very important. So I think next week we're just going to have a part three, because we're building a roadmap to purpose. This is called building a roadmap. What does that look like? How does that feel? How can you get there? So we're going to continue this conversation, especially in a time where we're waiting and we're strategizing. What does that look like to really plan and strategize for the next move? What does it look like when we come out of our waiting period? What does my purpose look like in 6 months? What can I be doing now while I'm sitting still towards that move in your purpose? So I want to, you know, thank all of the callers today for calling in and interjecting. I want to thank Tiffany Hunter for just coming on and sharing, you know, and I want to thank everybody for coming on to the line. We will be here next week, same time at 1:30. This is Focus Factor, where we motivate a movement and empower you to soar. Next week, hopefully our chat will be up and things will be running smoothly, but we're just going to keep it moving regardless. We had some interruptions, and I do apologize for the technical difficulties. Calls kept dropping, but this is Stacey Johnson, and we will be here next week on the Focus Factor at 1:30. So please tune in. We thank you for listening. You all have a wonderful day. Thank all the callers for all your advice, for your opinions. We thank you. Have a wonderful day and enjoy yourselves.
Amen.